Blog Talk Radio.
In the old days, you couldn't hooky school because behind every drawn shade was an eye. And before your mother got off the bus into the house, she knew exactly where you had gone, who had gone into the house. Parents don't know that today. I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit. Where were you when he was two? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? And how come you don't know he had a pistol? These are not political criminals. These are people going around stealing Coca-Cola. People getting shot in the back of the head over a piece of pound cake. And then we all run out and we're outraged. Oh, the cop shouldn't have shot him. What the hell was he doing with the pound cake in his hand? Brown versus the Board of Education is no longer the white person's problem. We've got to take the neighborhood back. We've got to go in there. It's right around the corner. It's standing on the corner. It can't speak English. It doesn't want to speak English. I can't even talk the way these people talk. Why you ain't where you is, go wild west. I don't know who these people are. And I blamed the kid until I heard the mother talk. And then I heard the father talk. This is all in the house. Everybody knows it's important to speak English, except these knuckleheads. You can't land a plane with why you ain't where. You can't be a doctor with that kind of crap coming out of your mouth. Why can't you hit the streets? Why can't you clean it out yourself? It's our time now, ladies and gentlemen. It is our time. And I have good news for you. It's not a...
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space to exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio. With your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. This is the Midweek in Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. We're expecting a special sit-in guest. You know him as the tangential producer of the show. Of course, that's the Oracle. He also moonlights as my father. I say that jokingly. I believe he's been itching to say a couple of things to our audience, and he's going to be sitting in, and he's going to give us his opinion, give us his wisdom on a couple of issues. So that should be fascinating. Again, the Oracle should be coming in shortly. We're going to go to a quick groove, of course, people. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. 915-9620. A number of issues we got to get into that were not advertised because simply they happened so quickly that I'm going to throw that in the mix as well. So it should be pretty interesting about Serena Williams for one. She's in a boiling cauldron. and I'm going to try to pull her out. All right, folks, first up, let's go to a quick groove. This is As One, West by Southwest, a little skosh of acid jazz. We'll be back in a few moments. And again, you know what to do. Let's groove. Okay, folks, enough of that. Again, that was a little bit of acid jazz. You know what we do. We give you the best of urban alternative music, folks. Again, this is AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. AfroNerd Radio, the Midweek in Review edition. Speaking of Captain Kirk, Captain, you know, it's your time. Let's go to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has.
Howdy, y'all. Let's get it started.
Okay, folks, again, the water is warm. Don't be scared, as I always say. Feel free to give us a buzz. Join in with us in the conversation. We won't bite, at least not that hard. The call-in number is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Listen, Captain, apologies to you because, you know, we always collaborate and come up with these topics, but sometimes things just happen, you know. These news cycles are literally 24-hour news cycles. So by the time you put something up, it could be a few hours later, stories come up that are obviously worthy of discussion, stories that would come up under our purview. So why not discuss them? Again, the Oracle should be coming in shortly. That should be interesting, Captain. I don't think you've actually spoken to my father, not formally.
On the show, of course.
Yeah. So this should be pretty cool. I mean, it's just a more mature version of myself. It is what it is. Actually, you know, let's get into it quickly. He'll buzz on in. I want to talk about this Serena Williams deal. Of course, she is a stellar athlete, highly accomplished. And we've given her a little bit of burn here and there. I will give her her props. I will give her her accolades. During the Olympics, I guess I was really frustrated when she did the Crip Walk. And I had problems with that, where people tried to be somewhat dismissive of it. Because simply, she's from Compton, and she had a sibling, I believe a half-sister, that died due to gang violence because allegedly because of Crips, of that particular gang. So it seemed a little bit disingenuous to dance, even though I understand she won and you might want to have a moment to be gleeful, to be relaxed. But I took umbrage with that you might not want to dance the dance of the enemy that killed your sister. That's, I mentioned this as an analogy. Imagine a Jewish person doing a goose step, not unlike what Hitler Youth, what they did. You're not going to see that. So I do want to talk about this deal with Serena Williams. And without further ado, I think the Oracle is coming up now into our studios, if I'm not mistaken. The Oracle, is that you?
Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Yes. D-Bert,
that's the Oracle.
It's an honor to be on your show. And I'd like to apologize for not being able to come in Saturday. But I'm here now.
That's good.
I think you guys have one of the better blog talk shows on the web. And I truly mean that. You guys are articulate, you're educational, you're informative. I mean, you guys have it all.
Not too far from the tree, huh, Captain? Notice the articulation.
Now you wouldn't just be saying that.
No, not at all. Not at all, man. Yeah, I listen to quite a few blog talk shows, man, and they have nothing in common with you guys. You're the best on here.
Well, thank you.
Well,
more
we
than
appreciate
welcome.
That. Definitely.
More than
happy belated Father's Day, by the way, Pop.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
We wanted to have you sit in. Actually, the last time you were on was, I think, in 2009, and that particular broadcast is still spoken about quite fondly. I have people sending us emails ever so often. They absolutely, absolutely love the last time you were on. So we're having you on again to discuss, really just to sit in. Just to get an idea of how you feel about some of these topics. First up, I wanted to talk about Serena Williams. I like Serena Williams, believe it or not. I do like her, but I do think on occasion, something might come through that might make me feel uncomfortable. But this time around, I think she's getting a raw deal. She made some comments about the Steubenville rape case. Well, you know what? Let me, if I can get the clip. Seems like our system's moving a little bit sluggish, but I want to get this clip first. Actually, this is courtesy of The View, ladies and gentlemen. This is The View with, of course, Barbara Walters. And I think they're trying to be somewhat deferential to Ms. Williams, but I think they have to ride the line because that's just political correctness, that's the law of the land, so you really can't be honest. But I want to play this clip. Here we go. Pop, hold on. Again, folks, we have the Oracle sitting in with us. Let's go to this clip, and then let's wax on it. This is Serena Williams, that story, courtesy of The View. Hold on, folks.
tennis star Serena Williams is getting slammed for some comments that she made about the Steubenville victim who was raped by high school football players, allegedly saying her parents should have taught her not to take drinks from other people and that maybe she shouldn't have put herself in that position. Now, people say this is blaming the victim for getting raped, and I know you guys were...
Well, this reminds me a little bit of the Mike Tyson, who is now, by the way, a wonderful performer. You saw him on the Tonys.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's doing,
yeah, yeah.
He's doing a one-man show. Okay. He was accused of raping a young woman named Desiree Washington. I remember this because I interviewed her. And he went to prison.
Yeah.
And when they were criticizing Desiree because she went up to his room, they said, what was she doing in his room? It's her own fault. She shouldn't have been there. She, you know, what did she think he was asking her to come in her room for anyway? And so she was being vilified as a victim. He did go to prison. So there is that question, which is the same thing you just brought up here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whether she drank too much or didn't drink too much, it's still rape.
Absolutely. And I think we also need to be teaching. It's got to be out there that we need to be, aside from blaming her, but we need to be teaching our boys to respect women, to treat,
right.
to not go along
yeah.
with the crowd. Because they are just as culpable. But
the fact that the woman is not able to defend herself,
right.
the fact that she is drunk is no excuse.
Yeah. But this is something, I'm sorry, Mark, because you want to say something.
Well, I mean, I just think it's what Serena had said was the girl was lucky that's all that happened. I don't know. How is that lucky that's all? I mean, it's a terrible thing in every way, and to have to kind of go and relive it through this trial is even worse because you get really raped again. By the
right.
system.
Right.
And no matter what the outcome is, this girl's going to have to live with this forever.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel bad because I'm a big fan of Serena's. I think she's great, but it's like, it just makes me so sad that somebody's saying that.
I think because sometimes you get things in print and you really don't get to explain what you
right.
meant. And I think if Serena was sitting here, she'd be able to explain further. But I don't want to take away the personal responsibility we all have because I don't have daughters, but I have nieces. And I always teach my nieces, if you go somewhere, because this is what was taught to me, if you go somewhere and you have a drink and you leave it, you get another drink, you know, and I've lost more drinks because I didn't turn around opening my mouth this way, and it was like, oh, shoot. Because my mother always said, there's evil people in the world, Sherry, who don't care about you
yeah, right.
and who will do things to you, so you always have to be vigilant. You always have to be alert, and I kind of feel like Serena may have been saying something to that effect, not trying to blame.
I think that's true, but sometimes I just wish that as a woman I could just remove my vagina and leave it somewhere so that I could feel safe going
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could just...
Girl.
Or just cover it with like a car stereo cover
or something. Glass case.
Yeah, I'll cover it with a tattoo.
I think also you're on to something because this is, you know, I don't know what kids are being taught now, how they're being taught.
Right.
Because we were, you know, there were certain things we were taught as young women. You know, when I was younger, my mom used to say, now, you know, you always go out in clean underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Because
oh, yeah.
you would could get hit. You could get hit by a truck.
And you feel that? I do.
Well, yeah, I am the cleanest. I'm like, I can't even tell you how clean I am. Because these things are the things that were put in our heads.
And have money in your wallet.
Always have money in your wallet so you can make a call or take a taxi.
Yes.
You know, there are certain things that you have to hold on to. Those things that you need to teach your daughters and you need to teach your sons,
yeah.
it's all about respect.
Right.
And neither party comes out of this well.
Mm-hmm.
Neither party comes out of this well. So we have to do a better job with our young women.
Okay, folks, once again, that was from The View discussing, I guess really rehashing the really horrendous case, Steubenville case with the high school football players that molested a young girl that was inebriated, and they're doing time, I believe, in juvie. One of them received 4 years, and another young man received 1 year. So they're being punished for what they've done, and I think what Serena Williams was saying is that, well, she wasn't raped vaginally. It was a fondling, which is still horrendous, still a horrible thing. But it could have been worse. It could have been, although I don't think it's desirable on any stretch, by any stretch of the imagination. Pop, what do you think about this? What do you think that Serena Williams is being, because now she has to kind of walk back. We're hearing within 24 hours of her statement, and this, again, to the audience, this is really coming from an article from the Rolling Stone. So she was interviewed in Rolling Stone magazine, and she was giving her honest opinion of her feelings about the Steubenville rape case. Now that she said what she said, and they're putting on her that she is blaming the victim, she's catching hell for that. So now she has to walk back on her comments. So, Pop, what are your feelings on this?
Well, I think Serena Williams was correct in what she said. I remember reading an article some time ago that in the world today, right is considered wrong, and wrong is considered to be right. And I see this happening all the time. Now, what Serena Williams said was absolutely correct, and many people know this, but by wrong being right, this happens all the time. Anytime you speak the truth, it's always wrong. No matter what happens, what President Obama does, and he's doing it right, the best of his ability, he is considered to be wrong. So this article bears out just what I'm saying. Wrong is considered to be right. And I see this happening in my neighborhood. When we bring up a subject in my shop, and what is right there, and sometimes we know it, you're shot down because of that. It's wrong. So that's what I have to say about that. She was right about that. And I think Sherry and Whoopi and Barbara and all of them, they know that. But it's very fashionable to just deal with that wrongness and call it right.
Do you think it's more of a outside voice and an inside voice thing? In other words, I'm fairly confident when these things happen the way that they do. This is not the same deal with a woman coming off from work and being pulled into the bushes. This is a young girl, and again, she, because of her youth, you have to, I guess, lessen some of it because of her relative youth. This was a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think internally, the first thought is, why was she so inebriated when she had no control over her bearings?
Yes.
So I think you are correct. I think there's a dishonesty because most people internally will say that, but you can't say it publicly. So you're being
somewhat
dishonest. And I was thinking about something else. I want the captain to weigh in as well. If this young lady were to be as inebriated as she was, if she were to be as inebriated as she was, and then she got into a car and then killed someone, now there's a role reversal, and she's no longer the victim. Now she's a victimizer, but she still is drunk. She is still as inebriated as she was. So what I'm saying is, nothing good can come out of someone being drunk. If she were drunk and killed somebody, we wouldn't be ready to roll out the carpet and say, well, she's not in control of her actions, and we wouldn't be calling her a victim. So the key component is, maybe you might not want to be drunk. And I believe that these young men, they have to be pulled to the carpet as well, because it is wholesale wrong to accost anybody regardless of what condition they're in. That is true. But I think some folks are operating as if, and I hate to go into liberal versus conservative, but there's a liberal thing as to how the world should be, as opposed to how the world is. The world should be that you should be left alone. You should have a right to your own body. But that's not how the world works, and you have to comport yourself and calibrate yourself to how the world is. I think I'm making sense. Captain, weigh in on this. What are your thoughts on Serena Williams and the fact that now she's kind of backtracking on her original comments?
Well, you made a good analogy, but you have to understand something with this society. All society likes to do here in the West is protect the women at all costs. So you have to be very careful when we make these analogies, knowing that to be the system that we're underneath at this given time. So I'll put it this way. I'll go in this way. Let's say you go down, you're 16 years of age, and you know you go down this certain street. There's a lot of thugs. There's a lot of robbings. There's a lot of killings. A lot of killings going on. And you know not to go down that street. You decide to go down that street. Now, you know ahead of time. Now, the responsibility does fall on you. But let's say you're robbed and you're beat up. What happened to you is still wrong. You understand? So now you enter in a gray area. You knew that you should not be going down that street. But at the same time, you were robbed, you were beat up. The action is still, the end result is still wrong. But also, you should not have went down the street. So this is what we're dealing with. Some people might say it's semantics, depending on how they want to do it. The system is set up in a manner that we're going to protect the women at all costs, you see, regardless of the fact. And that's the system that we're underneath. So at the end of the day, Miss Williams, she's entitled to her opinion. That's what it is, whether you believe it's right or wrong. And they can go back and forth all day long. But in this case, a rape did take place. That's what they're saying, allegedly took place. It took place. Rape, we all know, is wrong. But also, at the same time, she should not have put herself in that position for it also to go down. So we have to weigh the two. But the rape is wrong. Just as if the person walking down the block, they should not be beat up and robbed. So there you have it. That's just how I have to look at it. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
All right, actually, we have some callers. Let's open up the lines. And let's see what our loyal listenership, what they think or what they might agree or disagree. Let's go to 732. Okay, caller, welcome to Afternoon Radio. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. Hello, 732.
Okay, we can put him back on hold. Put him back
All right.
on hold.
All right.
They obviously don't
All right.
want to talk.
All right. Didn't they have the thing to say
no.
they want? Okay, maybe I'm mistaken. They
no.
didn't. All right, no problem.
We'll go with 312.
Okay, I think I know who this is, but I'm never good with numbers. I'm always forgetting. Welcome to After the Rail. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from. I think this is – Serge?
No, this is the 312. No, yeah, this is Kim Success in Chicago.
Okay.
Oh, Kim. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm really enjoying it. And what the Oracle said is true, what you said is true, what the captain said is true. With these situations, you have to be able to talk about the entire situation, not just focus on the rape, also focus on the girl putting herself in that position. And I think that's what Serena Williams was saying, that the girl should not have put herself in that position, which is totally true. And, you know, we're talking about high school people. Why do people not talk about drinking underage? You know, they were breaking the law by drinking underage, you know, first of all.
Well said.
Going down that street, as Captain said, she's all down the wrong street anyway.
That's true. I mean, we could also sit there and say, I would put less blame on her if she were an adult and she was drinking something and someone slipped her a Mickey. I could see, I mean, even though you have to be vigilant, I mean, I think it's important, and we talk about this a lot on the show, having a certain level of discernment and hypervigilance. You just can't have this innocence about you as if
right.
nothing could happen to you. I think you have to be aware. But
right.
in this case, I mean, again, she is young, but you just can't drink to oblivion because you can harm someone or harm can come to you. I think people are forgetting that element of it. If she were to get into a car and was that inebriated and killed someone, she is no longer the victim. So now she's on the receiving end of it because she should not have been that out of it. You have to have some control over your being. But it's true. The majority of the blame obviously goes to these young men because, you know, you just don't go around accosting people. You just don't do that. But to make her blameless, completely
right.
blameless. If you,
right.
you know, if you do this, then you can't tell young. I mean, and I want more from you on this one. Can we ever tell young women really anyone, but this, in this case, it's a male-female dynamic. Can we tell young women, listen, we know that these men are creeps, that there are creepy men out there, but you might want to do some things to cover yourself. We can't do that if we have these topics and there's never any blame passed on. You can't say anything. You know, we can expect that to happen too much. I'm
right.
Sorry,
well, that's what Sherry and Whoopi was talking about. You know, think little things that their mother told them. You know, if you turn away from a drink, don't go back to your drink. Always have money in your pocket. You know, don't do this and don't do that. So you have to teach the girls their responsibility. Yes, the rape was wrong, but you know, like Captain said, if you go down that street, that's what happens. And you know, I have teenagers, and you know, my children are homebodies, and I don't have a problem with that because streets are crazy these days. Streets are not like they were back in the day. It's just everything is crazy. College is crazy. High school is crazy. Walking down the street in Chicago is crazy. It's all crazy where you have to be vigilant in whatever
right.
you do. When you go to the grocery store, you got to be vigilant because they got people trying to snatch your purse and snatch your phone. So you have to be on guard in all places, and you can't be on guard drinking alcohol. You just can't do it.
Kim, hold on for a moment. I want to go back to the Oracle. Dad, why do you think we can't be honest with people? Because this seems to be a rotating issue. And this is something that obviously one of the reasons why we developed AfroNerd Radio, where we can get away from some of this political correctness. It appears that we can't go to the honesty thing because right away, in this case, Serena Williams, the newspapers are out, she's being shamed. You know, she's already being pushed to say, hey, we're not going to allow you to have this opinion. Why is it that we can't seem to say, hey, wait a minute, why can't we look at it another way?
Well, we just don't do that today. Honesty is not fashionable in the world today. And another thing, when the parents were mentioned in this equation, you just can't say anything about the parents. You can't put any blame on the parents. And I've seen that for a number of years. When you talk about the parents, you kill the whole conversation. All parents are teaching, so they say. Now, in my experience, very, very few parents have teaching skills. Now, you know yourself, I sat down with you, and I taught you, and I can say that, and you can say that. I told you to stay out of harm's way, and I explained things to you. I told you when the cops stop you how to handle that situation, and many parents do not do that. They will tell you that they do that, but they do not do that. That is one reason we have so much corruption in the world, because we don't talk to our children and we lie about these things. I don't know, man. It's just crazy. The parents, I'm telling you, because in my shop where I am, and I have these conversations with the guys, older guys and younger guys, and everybody is lying. I have never talked to a person at his shop would admit to the truth. When you start talking about the truth, they start calling you professor, all kinds of names, laughing at you and things of that nature. So I just don't know about it, D-Bert. You just cannot be honest. Whoopi and Sherry and that whole group, as soon as you mentioned that girl should have took responsibility, oh, man, they will shoot you down and start calling you names, ridiculing you and all things like that. I just don't understand it myself.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to agree with you, except that I was self-taught, sir. I'm a genius. a genius of myself.
Get out of here.
We're glad Oracle is there to verify that untruth.
Yeah.
What'd you say now,
right,
Kim?
We're glad that Oracle is there to verify that untruth.
Yeah, I said with
Des,
I really did. And we just talk, we go over things even now. And that's just what I do.
Phil,
mm-hmm.
the teaching doesn't stop. Listen, Kim, I want to put you on hold. I want to go to a quick groove. Oracle, please, if you can, stand by.
Okay.
After the musical break, I want to go into good news. I don't want it to us
for us to kind of hamper on. I want to talk about actually Soledad O'Brien's niece. She did something very insightful, graduating from Harvard with the highest GPA of her class. I just want to mention that. We do have the Blue Area segment of the show where it's not always doom and gloom. We'll talk about some positivity, and then we'll get back to the doom and gloom because it's out here. So going to a quick groove, this is, this is someone I always go to, one of my go-to people. This is Prince's Royal Badness, I Wish You Heaven. Folks, let's groove for a moment. Back with the gang and as well with the Oracle. Hold on. Let's groove.
Take this beat. I don't mind. Got plenty of others. And they're so fine. Take this beat. I don't mind. Got plenty of others. Take my coffee, don't touch my cream. Make me holler, make me scream. Sister ugly, that's the truth. Cheap pizza in the backyard, sleep on the roof. Take this beat, know you need it. Give you a white dove. Don't want it. Take this beat. I don't mind. Oh, got plenty others. They're so fine. Take this beat. Oh. Steel blue overcoat on my back. 670 birds. Heart attack. Bleed it slack. Don't fuck with me. I'll slap you. Hey, take this beat. I don't mind. Got plenty of others. And it's so fine. Take this beat. I don't mind. Got plenty of others.
I don't think you fall that heavy. Again, that is His Royal Badness, Wish You Heaven, Prince. We're back, folks. This is the Midweek Review edition of After Radio. Of course, we have the tangential producer of the show, who also moonlights as my father. He's online as well. I have a difficult time. You know, I go on and on, as the captain knows. It's a everlasting MP3 file. I don't get Lil Wayne. I'm sorry. I'm trying. There's so much good music out here. The groove is there. The groove is tight, as they say. There's musicians out here that cannot be denied, and yet we're supposed to pretend that Drake and Lil Wayne and Rihanna, that they're really doing something. I'm lost on that. Can you explain?
You
love Wilson Pickett. I love Wilson Pickett and James Brown. I mean, I don't want to – we can talk about newer artists too, more current artists, but – explain to me what's going on here.
Well, I don't think Lil Wayne and Drake and the rest of that crew, I don't think they were taught. I'm using the word taught. They learned someplace along the way, but you must be taught. That music you just played, man, was very funky. I mean, anybody would love that music, or they should, but these other guys, they picked up along the way, but I don't think they were taught. I was just listening as you were playing Prince there. But, you know, Prince is out of sight, man. He's one of the best. And Pickett and the rest of the guys. But you have plenty of soul there. I listen to your show all the time, and the music that you play, man, is great. No matter what Sherry or Whoopi would say, would knock this down. I mean, you're giving the right stuff out here. You guys giving out this good information. I mean, my God, guys. And many of these people should listen to your show. More people should listen. But no, I guess they don't want to hear this type of stuff.
Well, we're working on it. I mean, actually,
okay.
We have one of our funk meisters, Tokyo Mike, from Tokyo now. Tokyo, Japan, that is. I'm assuming he's listening even as we are speaking. So it takes time, but we're getting some folks. And, of course, Kim is new. I know Kim from Black Bloggers Connect. And so folks are starting to come on in. It's just – it takes a while. It's hard work.
Yeah.
The minstrel stuff is easy.
Yeah, man,
Real Housewives of Atlanta is easy.
Yeah.
Love and Hip Hop is easy. Afro-Nerd is not that easy. So, it is what it is. All right. I want to move along for a moment. I want to get some accolades. Beautiful young woman happens to be related to Soledad O'Brien, former CNN correspondent. We were fortunate enough to interview Ms. O'Brien about year and a half ago. She had a memoir out. She's also a native New Yorker from Long Island specifically. But her niece, Ethel Ellie Hilton, she graduates with the highest GPA in her Harvard class. So I think that not only is that an accomplishment, and she was also inducted into the Phi Beta Kappa Society. So obviously her future is bright. She has a degree in sociology and was honored by the Sophia Freund Prize. So, I mean, she's already on track. And you wouldn't really expect anything less because of her DNA. But I think it's important to highlight these things. Folks, we do a thing periodically called the Blue Area segment. The show is called Afro Nerds. On occasion, we will go into a nerdy thing. The Blue Area is a Marvel Comics device where the characters can go to the moon and breathe fresh air. There's a section of the moon where you can breathe fresh air. So this is a point on AfroNerd where we can breathe fresh air and discuss folks of color that are not conforming to stereotypes. So all accolades and blessings and Godspeed to Ethel Ellie Hilton. And she's not too bad on the eyes also. So I got to put that out there as well. She's a cutie. But I think it's important to at least mention her accomplishment, and we will continue to do this. But if you leave it up to Mr. Harvey, I know that Q-Storm is listening.
There we go.
I don't know. I guess he does these things. But, he does his part. But, I don't know. The speech pattern and the country stuff. I don't know. There's got to be a place where we can speak truth to power and really not play games with this stuff. Let's give these people our full support and acknowledgement without the shenanigans and the monkey shines. Let me bring Kim in. I think I have her on hold. Kim, did you hear anything about Ms. Hilton, Soledad O'Brien's niece? Hello?
No,
Kim?
I did not hear anything about that, but I was happy to read about it, after you shared. You share a lot of information that doesn't get the public attention, and, people wouldn't want, the mainstream media wouldn't want us to know that, black people are going into Harvard and knocking the doors down.
Yeah, that's one thing that's very troubling. I was thinking about this behind the scenes. There are so many shows that are featuring black folk and have black talent, but it seems everything is geared towards comedy and not really being serious. And we do have black folks that are accomplishing things, but where do you go, where does one go to get information that is inspiring? I mean, we deserve that, I think. It can't always be the shootings and the death and the rappers. A few days ago we heard that Lil Wayne stepped on a flag And actually, I think that might have been more of a mistake. I will stick up for someone, I say that in quotes, when it comes to accuracy. I don't think he was literally stomping on a flag, but that's how it's being reported. And hey, listen, we know what he's done before. He's kind of being a victim of his past mistakes. But we do need to have a place where we can start to really give ourselves a hand, you know, give us a clap and a hand and accolades. We need to have a place where we can not always be about the minstrel stuff. Captain, what are your thoughts on Ms. Hilton's accomplishments?
Excellent job. We need to promote this and promote more things like this. That's what it's all about. She has a very bright future. Top of the class, Harvard, very bright future for herself.
Yeah, highest GPA of the class. That's a big deal.
That's a good deal. At Harvard.
I mean, really, listen, we need to have a show about this also. I don't know if we have enough time. I might have actually advertised it. There is a thing, Captain, about, let's say, HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities, versus the Ivy League, that sometimes we seem to push more for predominantly white schools and Ivy League schools beyond that. And if she were to have had the highest GPA at Spelman, in my world, that would have been as equally as impressive. So I think I have to throw that in there as well. I mean, I have, I'm all about education, wherever you get it. So I'm not going to poo-poo on someone who went to an Ivy League school. But at the same time, I'm very much a proponent for HBCUs having attended one. So I think sometimes things have to be put into perspective. If she had gotten, I wonder if it would have been reported if she had gotten that high GPA at Spelman. That's another thing. We may have to go into that at some other later point, but I think it's just to note that. I have to put that in there, that Spelman and Morehouse and Hampton and Howard, these are schools of esteem as well. Can always be about Harvard and Dartmouth. I'm just putting it out there. All right, folks, I want to go to another topic, and this is actually a local story. And it's very disturbing, and maybe I'm looking at this wrong. I can be corrected. I would like our listenership to call in and to give me their opinions. But I'm very troubled by, once again, another story about political correctness. Now, the captain and myself, we've been speaking for the last couple of months about New York's Stop and Frisk program. For those who are not familiar with that program, it's a policy that has been initiated by the NYPD, and actually it's being scrutinized now. There are actually police officers in court now trying to dismantle the efficacy of the stop and frisk policy. And what stop and frisk essentially means is it's an extension of a policeman's discretionary powers. That if he or she were to see someone that they suspect might be a criminal or be involved in criminal activity, they have the right to stop and frisk you. And unfortunately, the ones that are being stopped and frisked in a high proportional rate are black and brown folk, Latin people and black folk. Black Latin men and black men specifically are the ones that are being subjected to stop and frisk. Now, if you listen to a great deal of urban radio like I do, I guess the way you're supposed to think is that, well, this is a wholesale racist policy, that we shouldn't be allowing this, and it's wrong. It's an invasion of your civil liberties, your personal freedoms. Why aren't other racial groups being subjected to this kind of thing? I would agree to that if this were not happening, if this were happening in a vacuum. But it's not happening in a vacuum. What's happening is, if we're putting it out there that this is happening disproportionately to Latin and black men, the other side of that coin is the crimes, the criminals and the perpetrators statistically are black and brown in this city. So this is a reaction to that. So now there's this bill that's really being put out there by a councilman from Brooklyn, Jumaane Williams. Jumaane Williams and mayoral hopeful Christine Quinn, these two are proposing a, how would I put this, a anti-profiling bill where you cannot describe the person by race. You have to say he's tall, he or she is tall, and they're wearing a blue jacket, but you can't make any references to their ethnicity. The police are scared because they're saying this is going to diminish it's going to affect the crime rate in a very bad way. So let's go to the captain on this one. Captain, what are your thoughts about this bill that you can't make any references to race, that you're just some guy wearing a blue jacket, essentially? That's the part.
First, before I get into that, the whole thing with stop and frisk is whether or not the individual, as they would say, the perp, their constitutional rights are being destroyed with the stop and frisk. That's open to debate. And we can go back and forth. There's a gray area and everything else. This bill now here, I think, is utter foolishness. If someone commits a crime and you get a description, you can't say, well, the person was black, the person was this, the person was that. That's stupid. How are you going to hunt down the perpetrator? How are you going to bring them in? It could be anybody now if you say, well, they were tall and they had on a black jacket and they had on red sneakers. Come on. What is the lineup going to look like at that given point? You need to narrow your playing field. You need to narrow it down some. That's idiotic. That's stupid right off the bat. This doesn't make any sense. Doesn't just make any sense whatsoever. None whatsoever. None, 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 none. And that's all I really have to say about it. That's it. Back over to you, Sir Apple Nerd.
Dad, we spoke about this before we went on air. What do you think is going on here where now we have politicians, Jumaane Williams specifically, he believes that you can't describe a person. You can't say if they're black or Hispanic. You have to not make any references to what the, you know, it's a little wacky to me. What are your thoughts on what he's trying to do here?
Well, I remember reading something about Mr. Williams some time ago, and I think he had some type of problem himself, you know, with his job or whatever. So I kind of expect this out of Mr. Williams. He's not a very honorable guy. I don't think so. And I will make that statement. So anytime you're dealing with a person like this, he's always going to find something with a little bit of trickery in it. And I don't know why you can't stop and frisk a person. I don't mind it because I don't have any problems. I don't have any record. You don't have a record. So I don't think you mind being stopped and frisked. But the people that have these records and a little shady background, they have a problem with being stopped and frisked. This is how I see that. Now, I'm often looked at, I'll tell you something, I'm going to say this, I don't know if it's off the subject or not, but I'm often mistaken for a minister all the time. That's how I look. I was on the train coming from Virginia one time, and in the car, in the bar car, the guy asked me if I was a minister. I ran into a girl that used to date at one time, and she had a friend with her. And your girl spoke to me, and her friend said, who is this? Is this your teacher, or is he a minister? I'm often, looked at as being a minister. I don't particularly care for it, but I must look like a minister. So these people worried about being stopped and frisked, they must look like a criminal. Now, don't on it.
That, okay, you might be having some problems. Let's go to 732. Open up the lines. I think he or she was holding on.
732. They don't want it. They're just listening.
I thought I saw them with the question mark up. I guess they don't want to. All right. I'll put it back. I thought they were trying to get in. All right. All right. I still have Kim on. What are you now? You're now. Listen, Kim. You're from Chicago, correct?
Yes, I'm in Chicago.
You're a perfect person to ask this. This is why I have you on for. I'm gonna have you on for a little bit, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind.
I see 732 is back. So we'll get to 732 in a moment. 732, hold on. We'll get back to you.
I'm back there.
Okay, one second. We're speaking to Kim now, Dad. One thing. From my understanding, because of the violence that's being reported in Chicago, Kim, we're actually hearing that some folks, maybe you can verify this, some folks are actually asking for a type of program like that in Chicago. Is that true?
Yes, yes. And the latest thing that they did put down the pike from the district attorney's office is that when these little boys, because they're mostly, 15, 16, when they shoot somebody, that they're going to go up the drug tail and get the big people. They recently had 40 people that were a gang, 40 people that were arrested because here in Chicago, they let the little boys, the young boys, commit the crimes, and then, they do the crimes for the older people. So now that they've got it where they can do a dragnet and get everybody. But I wanted to say about the stop and frisk as well as this new thing, where they can get the big people even when the little people are committing the crimes. Our community has gotten so bad where everybody is going to have to get stopped and frisked or everybody gets arrested because the crime is just out of control. It's just out of control. You have babies getting killed. You have people, stray bullets it's just out of control. So things other than the new one that you said, well, you can't identify somebody according to race, but all these other crime bills and things to do, they have to do something. Something has to be done. And I don't know if it was on this show, if it was on another show, but or maybe it was what Bill Cosby was saying. It's like nobody knows anybody when the crime is committed. But then when somebody dies, these little 15, 16-year-olds die, then here come mama and grandma, my baby. What were you doing before when they were out 12 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night with these guns? They on bicycles just shooting people. I mean, it's just out of control. So, yeah, they need to do the stop and frisk, and that would hopefully, keep some of the crime down, especially in the summers where it gets hot and it gets really bad.
Wow. What you're saying is probably a dangerous thing because you're not allowed to say what you just said. I'm being somewhat facetious, but someone will tell you you can't think the way that you're thinking. I applaud you for your honesty, but I've been on other shows. I've played clips of myself speaking this way to other radio hosts, and they'll tell me, you think you have a crazy way of thinking. You have a crazy way of thinking. You're supposed, as a black male especially, I'm supposed to be against stop and frisk. I'm not supposed to say, and under normal circumstances, maybe I would, maybe. But I think what you're saying is you're dealing with such an outrageous amount of criminality and violence, and babies are being killed. Babies are being killed, maimed, paralyzed.
Yes.
What are you expecting people to do? There's got to be a reaction to that. So
right.
I don't know.
And if the community won't do it, the police will have to step up and do it.
Exactly. Let's go to another call. This person's been in and out, so let's go to this person. 732, welcome to Afro Nerd. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys. Moana calling back in. It's on a lighter note. I tried to call in earlier. Today is National Martini Night, or not Martini Day. I'd like you guys to come up Sunday with the Afro Nerd Martini, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic version. What do you think?
All right. We'll take you up on that. Sounds good. Captain, what was that?
Captain. I don't know.
All right. We get them all. We get them all. All right. Anyway, so I guess my problem is, and I talk about this all the time to our listenership. Again, folks, this is the Midweek in Review edition of Afro Nerd Radio. My father, the Oracle, the tangential producer of the show, is sitting in with us. I guess my problem, I'm very frustrated because I would like our show to, of course, go even beyond the internet, or even we always are working on our reach. But there seems to be, with urban radio, that a one way of thinking that black people specifically are allowed to think. There's a one way you must think this issue, and if you're counter to this, then there's a problem. When I've mentioned this before, I've said, hey, I think that the military, especially what happened in Chicago, where I believe there was 30 people shot, 7 people killed this past Father's Day. I mean, that's outrageous. It's outrageous, and I would want the military to come in, have checkpoints, check out people, those coming in, those going out. I believe in a certain degree of profiling. Now, the whole thing about stop and frisk is, logistically, I doubt every black person is being stopped and frisked. When you see how these crimes are being committed and who's committing them, there is a composite. When I see them reported, the perps or the victims are usually around anywhere between 17 and 30. 22, 23, it's 2 a.m. Well, now I can't even say it's 2 a.m. Now it's happening at 2 p.m. Used to be early right. morning. Now some of the stuff is happening. It could happen 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But there is a certain profile that comes up, and I sincerely doubt, as far as the perpetrator, that we're going to see some studious, dare I say, Afro nerd coming from the local library with a Microsoft, an Apple tablet in his hand, reading a chemistry book. I never see that profile being – maybe he might be a victim, but I don't see him being the perp. Yes. So, you know, what is it about – not all black folks, but some black people like this Jumaane Williams, they don't even believe in the concept of profiling. Why can't we profile? Now, the key component is don't fit the profile, number one.
Right.
And two, we can't agree that there isn't some kind of collective look to the criminals. I mean, I don't see these criminals wearing khakis and ties committing the crimes when they're doing the gangbang thing. Or am I losing? I mean, are they not wearing do-rags and the pants are sagging? I mean, there is a look. But we can't agree that there's a look. They're wearing 3-piece suits by Armani. Is that? I mean, am I being politically incorrect? What am I saying that's incorrect? Dad, what are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on? I perceive this is Jumaane Williams. Mr. Williams is putting it out there. He wants to dismantle the concept of profiling. Now, you said you are profiled as someone who looks like a minister.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't agree that there is some kind of look to the criminal element?
Well, you can't do that. You know that because we don't deal with the truth. We are in denial. And I don't know if anything can be done about that. We are in denial. I might go out on a limb and say Mr. Williams might have someone in the penal system. Maybe I shouldn't say that. That's how I feel. I speak as I feel. I think Mr. Williams might have somebody, some of his relatives or somebody, from this type of background. And I feel that. And I would tell Mr. Williams that. I think I'm right about that.
Well,
if you're a straight-up guy, you don't worry about stop and frisk or anything like that. You don't worry about it. You can even welcome it, believe it or not. I know I do.
Well,
that's
you know this conversation is a dangerous one.
Yeah.
Because
I'm aware of that.
Allegedly black folk aren't supposed to speak.
Sure, right.
If I were to go to any, and I have gone to other urban radio outlets and speaking this way in support of stop and frisk and talking about the concept that there is such a thing as a profile. Matter of fact, I think I spoke about this last show, Captain. There was a young woman from Scarsdale, which is a moneyed area of Westchester County in New York. And she had the look, the trappings, and the profile of someone who was perhaps a doctor's wife or someone who just a well-to-do white woman. Someone, as they say colloquially, dropped dime on her because they found that this person had some kind of pot marijuana facility in Queens in a warehouse district. When the heat was on him, he said, wait a minute, I know of so-and-so. She has a couple of thousand plants in her warehouse. Everyone was shocked. Her neighbors, her daughter was part of the equestrian club. She rode horses. She had a late model Mercedes. She had a mansion. She was a doting mother. She didn't fit the profile of someone who deals drugs, but she was a major drug dealer. Now, that's not to approve of what she did, but it goes to show you what happens when you don't fit the profile. So why doesn't Jaquan, Raekwon, and Lakeisha, why don't these folks get it that if you're going to do something, why not really be slick about it and drive a simple car, wear clothing that's more corporate looking, that would be sophisticated, I think. Is there such a thing as a black person not fitting a certain profile? Or are all black folks under suspicion? So these people will tell you, I'm pretty sure Jermoni Williams will tell you, well, all black people, he'll come to you and I, Captain, and say, well, you guys could easily be profiled. I don't know if I agree with that.
No, that's not true. He would say that, but that's not true.
Let's talk about the profile for a second. All right?
Okay.
2 o'clock in the day. Now we're going to be brutally honest right now. 2 o'clock in the day. Seven youths, let's say they're about 25 years of age, hanging on a corner, pants sagging, first thing. Sagging pants, came out of the prison. Okay. White T-shirt, fine, okay. Do-rags on their head. About 9 tattoos. Middle of the day, 7 of them hanging on the corner for one hour. Now, what comes to mind?
Maybe they're
waiting to be – hold on.
They're doctors, aren't they?
Maybe they're waiting to be picked up to go to work at 2 o'clock in the day. Maybe they're having a business meeting, okay? And they might not be into criminal activity. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But that is the profile. So you do not want to look like that. That's all. That's all. That's all. It's real simple. It's real simple. Keep it moving.
I guess I would like to see one day. I mean, first of all, I wouldn't want to see anyone, regardless of their color, really get caught up in some kind of in this kind of criminal activity. But is there such a thing as a mastermind that does it in reverse? I mentioned before that the American Gangster film with Denzel Washington, and this is based on a true story, with a major heroin dealer from the 70s. He went against his own rule. His rule now, as a heroin dealer, was to not have the look of someone that is a heroin dealer. When he was being investigated initially, at least this is how it played out cinematically, they could not find anything on him surface-wise. He had a business, a reputable business. He went to church. He would visit his mother. There was nothing about him that looked as if he was into any shady business. His girlfriend at the time bought him a chinchilla fur coat, and there was a boxing match. She was begging him, Poppy, I want you to floss. I want you to look like somebody. Please put on this jacket. The minute he put on this big minstrel hat, furry hat, and the fur coat, and sat in front of the boxing match, then the Fed said, oh, wait a minute, we have to take a second look. He was off the radar, and he knew consciously on some level that he didn't have a look. He was aware of the profile. The minute he decided to concede to the profile, that's when his troubles began. This was seen by billions of people, American Gangster. This was a very popular film. I mean, that's the blueprint of how this is supposed to go. But Mr. Williams is leading me to believe there's no profile. We can't have a profile. The profile doesn't exist, Captain. I'm confused.
Well, this is Kim, and I wanted to add, as the Oracle always says, that, you know, no one wants truth, and right is wrong, and wrong is right. As the Captain said, the droopy pants coming out of prison, they've made that right when it's really wrong, mm-hmm. and that's why so many people get caught up in the profile.
That's correct.
I guess I want to go to another musical break, and I want to get back, and actually I want to talk about something else. I don't always want to stay on the race thing. This is something that's of lighter fare. We got about 18 minutes remaining. Actually, I want to talk about, believe it or not, Miley Cyrus.
Here we go. We don't want to get on the race thing. Okay.
Well, hey, this is something that we need to get into for a minute. Popular singer, Disney kid. Now she's a young adult finding her way. And she's been doing some questionable things on the internet. She's been playing around with her image. So she made a couple of comments that I'm not so comfortable with. So we'll get into that. We'll get into what she said, and I want to unpack it. Again, folks, this is the midweek edition of Afternoon Radio featuring the Oracle this time, and myself, and the Captain. Quick groove, this is Ain't My Fault. Sounds familiar. Ain't My Fault, Lenny Kravitz, Mos Def. We'll be right back.
Go to the rock to hide they face. Say the rock right out, know how to face it. Go to the rock to hide they face.
Allowed to talk to the media.
About the editing on that. That's pulling out the phaser. Again, that was Ain't My Fault, Mos Def, Lenny Kravitz, giving you the best of urban alternative music, folks. Again, this is Afternoon Radio. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. And I have a bit of a crew with us this evening. Of course, I have the Oracle sitting in, my father. His tagline, I think, now is the tangential producer of the show, because we do get advice from my dad, and he will kind of, my favorite word is calibrate. I get that from Obama. He helps us calibrate the show, where we pick it up a little bit, tone it down a little bit, and gives us advice. So his advice is always welcome. Newly found friend, we have Kim from Chi-Town. I think we have two people from Chi-Town we're going to have to kind of shout out there, Captain Serge and now Kim. I wanted to talk about, we have a few moments remaining, I wanted to talk about this issue with singer, actress, former Disney entertainer, Miley Cyrus, and she's coming under fire. I mean, these controversies, if you want to call it that, they last about 24 to 48 hours. Anyway, she's working on an album. And she's most known for doing pop music, maybe even country music. And she said rather off the cuff that she wants to have a black sound. She wants to go for a black sound. And I think folks are nervous about this because, or rather, to be more specific, she says she wants something urban and something that feels black, is what she said. Something that feels black. So she makes this comment, and, you know, leading up to this, we see her making these little vignettes of her kind of fooling around and clowning around, and she's in some kind of bunny outfit or some kind of costume, and she's twerking. And for those who are unfamiliar with twerking, twerking is a type of dance, really a stripper dance. You see, unfortunately, you see so many young women of various ethnicities that are shaking their rumps to the camera with great ferocity. So she seemed to have picked up that skill. So she's twerking in one video, and then you see her wearing a gold or platinum grill piece, not unlike some of the minstrel rappers that we talk about. So when you see this, and then she says, well, I'm looking for a sound that's black, what kind of black sound are you looking for? So I want to open this up to the captain. What do you think this is? I mean, looking at the articles about this, folks are saying that it's less about her wanting to do a black sound and more about her wanting to do a ratchet, quote-unquote. We use the term lower tier, but others are using the term ratchet, a ratchet thing. What's up with Ms. Cyrus?
Well, first, I'll give the sophisticated answer. I don't know what that means because, according to the powers that be, all forms of music come out of black people. So black people are, in essence, not a color, but the substance that everything comes out of. That's a sophisticated answer. So I don't understand what that means. Now let me give the more mundane, regular day-to-day answer. It seems to me she wants to be more or less involved in what we call some of the lower-tier type of stuff that we don't like on this show. You know, like along the line, let me see. She's normally doing pop music. I don't know. Let's see. What would that be? Rihanna or something like that? You know, something along those lines, I guess. You know, that's what I'm thinking. That's about it.
that we spoke about this earlier. I think you might have had a different take on it, but what do you think? What do you think is going on here? I mean, it's not unusual for an artist to you know, a white artist. There's such a thing as Blue Eyed Soul. There's artists that we play on the show that would have a quote unquote black sound. I just don't know if they broadcast it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking that Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, Miley.
Come,
right.
Yeah, I think she comes from a lower tier background. That's what I'm thinking. Her father, Billy Ray Cyrus, and all. I think she's from.
Make you break your heart.
Yeah. She's from what, Tennessee or Kentucky? And I think she's just being herself. That's what I feel about it. And in my neighborhood, you know, I see these lower tier whites around with the lower tier blacks. So it's kind of common to me. And I don't seem to have a problem with it. And as you say, you know, I've seen many artists that has this black sound. So it's not new to me. I don't seem to have a problem with them, what Miley Cyrus is saying. I don't. That's my take on it.
Any thoughts? We have you as holding on. So any thoughts on Miley? What do you think
well,
she means? Is there a problem?
Well, I guess it's not really straightforward. I like Disney because, you know, Disney has somewhat wholesome things for children, and on their channels they don't show regular commercials. So, you know, I've grown up Miley Cyrus and my children have. She may be, you know, low tier as far as, you know, coming out of country, but she was a top tier pop rock star, you know, having her own TV program when she was like maybe 11 to maybe 16 or something like that. And then,
right.
I mean, she was every white girl's dream as far as what they want to be. They want to be Hannah Montana, which is her other side. And now that she's doing this, I think she's just rebelling. And she's going to go the way of, because I was reading an article about, you know, J-Lo and Mark Wahlberg, you know, these white people that take on a black. But people always take on a black to get up there. And then when they get up there, they turn white. So, you know, she's just doing what everybody else is doing. It's not anything new. She's putting herself out there on the lower tier of black, you know, being ratchet and, you know, doing all the other stuff. But, you know, when she's ready to let her hair grow and get that dark makeup off, she'll be in Hollywood tier. But she's going to leave all those people that she's humdrum with, you know, back where they were. She's going to go to, you know, high society, and they're going to be still less than the drugs on the lower tier. So if they allow her to use them as that, just like we say, if you walk down that street, because she's not the first white person to do it, so if you walk down that street, don't be surprised by what you get.
Yeah, you know, I think the article brought up something very important, I think, and I guess I didn't look at it necessarily that way. Something I do forget, that her familial background, her family background, is that of a lower tier situation, because like her parents recently divorced, and they pushed her into the showbiz thing. Billy Ray was a one hit wonder to turn things around and focus his attention on his daughter, and his daughter, with the Hannah Montana connection and Disney, became extremely wealthy. Miley Cyrus is worth, you know, maybe $100-$200 million. She's worth a lot of money, so she has what one might consider socialite money. But there's such a thing as slumming, and we've seen this before, going back many years, where quote unquote white folk have been able to do a bit of slumming, meaning they can go into subcultures, take something away from the subculture, and then make even more money. And then when it's time, as you just said, Kim, when it's time to take off that costume and become that straight pop culture person, they can do that. I guess my issue is, I think it's less about Miley Cyrus and more about, I would like to hear more folks of color come out and check her or correct the statement and say, hey, wait a minute, what do you mean by black? Or do you mean going into a jazz club? Do you mean doing a soul sound? Do you mean doing a rock sound? because is Lenny Kravitz trying to be white when he does rock music? Because he's spoken about that. We have it in reverse. I believe this is probably on YouTube, where when Monique had her show, the actress Monique had her BET show, and she interviewed Lenny Kravitz. There was a hint of, the question was, are you doing white music? And he said, wait a minute, slow your roll. Rock and roll music is black music. I am honoring the black tradition. So in the reverse, if someone does something like, let's say, Darius Rucker, is he going for a white sound? Is he doing country music? Matter of fact, when he was with Hootie and the Blowfish, I believe he was perceived a certain way. So I guess in some ways it can be done in reverse, but in respect to Darius Rucker, he never said he was going for that sound. He just did it. Justin Timberlake, one might say he's doing a black sound, but then he never advertised that. He just did it. Tina Marie, very much part of the black community. She was just doing Tina Marie. She didn't have to orchestrate or announce, guess what, folks, I'm going to do black sound now. That's what I think is problematic. And this whole concept of she seems to have figured out what black is. I don't know what black is, theoretically. But she knows what it is. For her to be so confident and say, I'm doing the black thing. Well, what makes what I'm doing, what we're doing now, not a black thing? Doing the Afro nerd thing. Why isn't that considered a black thing, and why wouldn't you pursue that? Oftentimes when these folks, we only got about 3 minutes remaining, unfortunately, but when these folks decide to do, when they announce, I'm going to do a black thing, it's always a minstrel show. That's my problem. For once, if someone says, I'm going to do a black thing, pick up a guitar, do an acoustic solo. Or when Obama attended Harvard and became the president of the law review, was that not a black thing? Maybe he's being closer to Asian. Is that an Asian thing? I'm just wondering. I think these are questions that we need to be asking, and I think my main problem is there needs to be a strong voice beyond the Afro radio show that confronts these questions and kind of say, you know what, Miley, you can do what you want to do, but there's 100 different ways to being black besides putting in a platinum grill piece. I'm just saying. Captain, any closing remarks? We got about 2 minutes remaining.
Nothing more to add, sir. Nothing more to add.
Okay, listen. Dad, as always, you're always welcome on the show. You do produce it, so why not be a part of it?
Thanks so much, guys.
Any closing thoughts as we close on out?
No, thanks so much for having me, and I enjoyed being on. I'd like to come on again.
The door is always open.
Okay, thanks again.
Kim, no problem. Kim, you are equally welcome. I appreciate you. You're sending me messages through Black Bloggers Connect. So, and also, if you can, pass the word around. We'll have celebrity guests along with the Oracle. I promise you. We can listen to some of the past shows. We had Soledad O'Brien on. So we do get the guests. But we appreciate your support, and you're welcome to come through anytime.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed the show.
Definitely. All right, Captain, let's move on up and out. Giving more of the His Royal Badness, sort of. This is one of his pupils. This is Andy Allo. Going out on People Pleaser. We'll be back on Saturday, folks, with the Grindhouse Show, Double Deal, Double Meal with Daryl B. for the Comic Shop and, of course, after the radio at 7. 6 at 6 p.m. for the Comic Shop, 7 p.m. for after the radio. This is People Pleaser. See you on Saturday. Andy Allo. Yeah.
me to be there at a drop of a dime. Well, I changed my mind. Used to be a people pleaser, but I had to change your mind. Just wanna take my time. So obsessed with holding on that I forgot to just let go. Listen to abusive speech instead of letting feelings show. And I'm so tired of dealing with these guys that all they do is take from their actions to their reactions. You and I both know it's fake. I used to be a people pleaser, take my time.